mother is suffering from dementia, and she can look at you dead on and say things that she has no clue what you say, she's saying, and you think she's right there in the moment. So I tend to give him a little bit of leeway toward with some of his controversial statements. I read a biography of him years ago, and how his quest for truth. He was raised in an Assembly of God congregation and sought years for the Holy Ghost, and he said he never received it and wanted it desperately, and he never received it. And I thought it was so interesting this past week to read reports from his family that as he was nearing the final moments of his life, they heard what they interpreted and what they think was him speaking in tongues. And so that was his family who said that, who were not raised that way. And they said, it appeared he tapped, I think the quote was, it appeared he tapped into his Pentecostal roots and began speaking in tongues right before he died. So God is the judge of all that. I just know that he was a poet of a preacher and one of my favorites. And he had much to say about prayer. And he believed that the North American church was in great danger because of their lack of personal prayer. He said, the North American church at present is conspicuous for replacing the Jesus way with the American way. Unfortunately, I think that in many ways he was right. And I don't think that the apostolic church has been exempt from that either. We try very hard to push back the tide. We try very hard to stay close to the word. But the fact is, society, the onslaught of spiritual warfare against the church creeps in among us into our doors and sits in our pews as well. And we have to fight hard if we are going to push back the night and push back the tide of this onslaught of society's way of thinking. So the first line in your handout, the concept of a culture of prayer is countercultural. The concept of prayer in any society is countercultural. Many societies have a concept of prayer, but it is a very ritualistic concept. America has such a concept of non-prayer that to say you pray almost invites ridicule. This has crept in to the church. So the concept of a culture of prayer is countercultural. If we as church leaders are going to make our churches houses of prayer, we will be countercultural. We also will be countercultural in the church world. And we need to understand that, and we need to be okay with that. Let's start off with, what is a culture? If you want a culture of prayer in your church, what is a culture? A culture is not, let's talk about that. A culture is not a program. I'm going to give you a minute to write. I only have 18 minutes left. So I am going to make sure that you get every word I'm saying, because all of them mean something. They all go together. A culture is not a to-do list. A culture is not attendance at events. And by that I mean prayer meetings and prayer room before church and praying for requests and praying in the altar and prayer revivals. Those are events. That is not a culture. Those things would be called strategy. So what is a culture? A culture is a belief system. A culture is a way of life. And a culture is a value system that drives daily action. In And so you say, well, now, those are very nebulous terms. That's pretty abstract. How am I going to implement that in my church? Well, glad you ask. That's what we're going to talk about. At the top of your handout, you'll see that quote that I'm sure all of you have read somewhere and that you've heard somewhere from Dick Clark. The fact is, culture eats strategy for lunch. You can have a good strategy in place, but if you don't have the culture and the enabling systems, the negative culture of the organization will defeat the strategy. So let's go back over what we just said. What is the strategy that we just said? Strategy is a program, a to-do list, attendance at events. What is going to eat that strategy for lunch? The belief system, the way of life, and the value system that drives the daily action. So people can come to all those things and do all those things, but if the culture does not support them, then that is not your culture. You're just having events. That is your strategy to try to implement a culture. This is a statement I'm about to make. It's the one that's in the middle there of your handout. And I want you to really think about it, and don't get mad at me at the beginning, but think about it and then see where I'm coming from. A culture of prayer will never come from the church into the lives on the pew. The culture of prayer can only come from the lives on the pew into the church. There is a prevailing mindset that seems to have gradually crept in among those in church leadership that the church campus and assembly is the origin of all that is good and of value in people's lives, and if a person will just attend church regularly, his life will be filled and equipped with all the elements he or she needs in order to be a fulfilled Christian. Let me say, I am for regular church attendance. But that mindset is in direct opposition to the way that lives were lived in the Word of God. Take a look at all the heroes of the faith, both kings and the common man, and we will find that they brought the state of their spirituality to the temple, not the other way around. I'm going to talk about that more in just a second and explain myself. But in order to sum up what I'm saying and will be saying in a nutshell, the strategy of prayer must come from the church. The strategy of prayer must come from the church and help build the culture of prayer in the home. And then the culture of prayer in the home will come back into the church and establish the culture of prayer in the church. Does that make sense? So can I say it one more time? The strategy of prayer must come from the church and help build the culture of prayer in the home, and then the culture of prayer in the home will come back into the church and establish the culture of prayer in the church. So if we have a culture of prayer in our churches, what would that look like? First of all, it must come from the home. Number one, leadership, and I would assume that encompasses everybody in this room this morning, all leadership must have prayer-based homes and personal lives. All leadership. My friend Eugene said pastors, and I'm going to say all leaders, must pay attention to God and then lead others to pay attention to God. 1 Timothy 3:4-5 said, one, a bishop must be one, that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Let's take house there and apply it to the temple, our own temple, our own body. So if you cannot rule your own body in the discipline of prayer, how can you take care of the church of God? Verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God,
which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So he was saying, if you can't take care of yourself at home, you're not going to know how to behave in the house of God. If you don't teach your children, if you don't lead your spouse, mutual submission, into prayer and a culture of prayer in your home, how can you respond to a culture of prayer in the house of God? This particular passage establishes the principle that what we live at home is what we bring into the church, not the other way around. And in Paul's letter to Timothy, the voice of God was very clear that bishops and deacons, all church leadership, not just the pastors, were directly responsible to the church for the atmosphere in their homes. And I think many times, because pastors and church leaders are around the church so much of the time, they begin to think that this is what makes them spiritual. And consequently, their homes become carnal places and places of non-spiritual attitudes, all in the name of relaxation and unwinding. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." But if his house will be called that, our houses must be called that first. And this old adage is true. We are only as strong as our weakest link. So if you want your church to have a culture of prayer, and even one of your leadership team does not have a private, personal, home culture of prayer, the message is sent to all of those in your congregation that what you preach and teach is not really what you believe. Because if you really believed it, you would not have someone in a place of influence who did not practice it. And here's the deal. You don't have to ask somebody if they live in a culture of prayer in order to know whether they do or not. You can just tell. When is the last time you knelt on your knees in your own home and prayed? When is the last time, if ever, you and your family have gathered in the family room and knelt together as a family and prayed? How do you approach life's challenges and frustrations and disappointments? With strategy? Or maybe raised voices and railing against an offense? When is the last time you have said, "Let's all hold hands right now and pray about this," or "Let's go to our knees right now and pray for God to speak to us about this"? When you tell someone you will pray for them, do you? Can you point to spots in your home where God has met you and your family in a season of need for him? I'm living in a new home to us. It's not new, but it's new to us. Haven't been there probably 3 weeks total yet. But already God has met me in a certain spot in that house. And that spot is now becoming my sacred spot just because he's already met me there. Do you have that spot in your home where God has met you and you know it's your sacred spot? Number two, prayer must spring from a conversation with the Word, not human emotions. Reverend Mr. Peterson said the reason why our prayers so often fall flat or come out stale is because they have been uprooted from the soil of the Word of God. Prayer culture is not based on a Santa Claus mentality. Have you made your Jesus list today? Gather around, fam. It's time to read our wish list to Jesus. Oh, you better watch out. Better not cry. Better not pout. Oh, you better just cry. Go ahead and cry. Yeah, the crying, that's the key. Oh, you better watch out. You better just cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Jesus is coming. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. We need you, God, we need you, God, we need you, God, we need you, God. Ah, it makes me crazy. So glad that God is not like me and has mercy on the sometimes senseless prayers I have prayed. But could it be that one reason we don't know how to pray and don't have a prayer culture in our homes or our churches is because we do not know the Word? Getting on my soapbox. Prayer is us talking to God, but the Word is God talking to us. Another Eugene Peterson thing was, don't talk. not let God have the first word. God does not want to have one-sided conversations with us. If we don't know how to respond audibly to God's word and allow him to speak to us and us to speak back to him, how can we be fit to teach others about him? We don't even know how to talk to him ourselves, and how can we lead someone else in something we don't even know? James 4:3 says, "Ye ask, and ye receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." And the word amiss in Greek, kakos, wrongly, improperly. You don't ask right. And so you better don't get your answer, and then your faith fails. And then it's God's fault when you didn't read. I've got 5 minutes. I'm getting there. Brayden was about, our son was about 4 years old when we were in our other house, and he was about 4 years old, and I've asked his permission to tell the story. For those of you who are nervous, I did. And he hated to take baths in the bathroom by himself because there was a monster that was going to come up out of the drain and eat him up. And so it's like he loved to play in the bathtub with his boats and with all of his toys, and so I would have to sit in there for 45 minutes to an hour at a time. And I had another child and a husband and a life. And I didn't have an hour a day just to sit in the floor of the bathroom. So we started trying to get him out of it. And we said, but it's going to come up out of the drain. And I'm just afraid. And no, there's nothing going to come up. But even if it don't come up, I'm thinking it is. And it's just, I can't. I'm afraid. Okay, next time you get in there, then you just try this. You just say, if you get that fear, you just say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Jesus will help you, you know. Parents, quick fix. I need to go cook supper. So, we were in the den, and you could hear through the bathroom, through the door. And Al had just left the room. I hadn't been gone 60 seconds. In Jesus' name. 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 It's not working. Hello. He was 4. But how many 44-year-olds and 64-year-olds and 84-year-olds do the same thing? Because we're not praying the word. Culture of prayer is what we're talking about in the church. But it has to be in the home. And you have to know what you're praying. How do you answer the questions of your children? Do you first turn to the word of God and pray about what you read there? Or is that a last resort? How do you answer the offense and pain the Bible says comes to all of us? With a plan of revenge and retaliation? Or do you turn to the word of God and cry out to him? Along with David. Do you pray, oh Jesus, prayers based on your thoughts? Or do you pray, our Father in heaven, prayers from the eternal, ever-sounding voice of the Logos? A culture of prayer in the home and in the church must be based on the word and not on our human emotions. Number 3, prayer basics must be taught continually at church and at home. You can never stop teaching the basics. Jesus almost never talked in terms of explaining, Eugene Peterson said. He was always using enigmatic stories and difficult metaphors. He was always pulling people into some kind of participation. Why is it that we feel when once we have taught something, we must move on and continually find new ideas and better ways to communicate a brand new message all the time? How many of you feel you have the basics of all this mastered? Because if you do, you're better than me. I don't even have the basics mastered. I think I do. And one day, 2 days, a week, I realize, oh, I don't have anything mastered. I am so full of flesh. I'm constantly fighting my flesh to make sure the word is first every day. To make sure other voices stay at a distance in my life so I can hear his voice. To make sure I'm continually gaining revelation from his word. and applying it to my daily life in order to achieve the abundance that he has promised me. The truth is, this life was not designed to be mastered. Early on in the development of his people, he gave the instructions in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And I won't read it all for sake of time, but that's the one that says, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in thy heart. You shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and be as frontlets between your eyes, and write them on the post of your house and on your gates." That's everywhere, all the time, and everything. Continually, all the time. From birth until death, without ceasing, at home, when you ride to church, when you go out to eat, when you go to bed, when you go to work, when you leave your house, and when you come home. Teach them to the young and teach them to the old, all of the time, all of the time. Never stop. All three elements of building a culture of prayer must be in place if the culture of prayer is to prevail in the church. If he is to be able to call this place, which is his house, a house of prayer, all three elements must be present. Without one of those three, the other two will ooze away and the culture will dissipate and affect no one. The law of humanity is to drift. The herd mentality, you know? One cow walks away, the rest of the cows walk with them. One sheep walks away, the rest of the sheep go with them. Go with the flow. Whatever everybody else is doing must be right. But that's not the law of God. Because in Matthew 7:14, he said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." And that is the law of God. A culture of prayer in the church must be established in the home and brought to the church. It is a counterculture which leadeth into life. And I challenge all of us today to be among the few that find it.